Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, From Beirut to Jerusalem by Thomas L. Friedman is a landmark work of reportage and analysis that traces the modern history of the Middle East through the author's on-the-ground experience as a journalist. Centered on two pivotal arenas, Lebanon and Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories, the book explores how civil war, foreign intervention, ideology, and identity politics shaped daily life and state decision-making in the late 20th century. Friedman combines scene-driven storytelling with explanatory context, moving from street-level encounters and interviews to broader political frameworks. The result is a narrative that helps readers understand why seemingly local events often ripple outward into regional and global consequences. Without treating the region as a single storyline, the book highlights the competing memories and fears that motivate leaders and ordinary people alike. It also offers a snapshot of diplomacy, media, and power during a period when alliances shifted quickly and violence repeatedly redrew political boundaries. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Lebanon as a microcosm of fragmented sovereignty. A central topic is how Lebanon's civil war illustrates the breakdown of state authority when sectarian identities and external patrons outweigh national institutions. The book presents Beirut as a place where neighborhoods can become front lines and militias function as de facto governments, controlling security, services, and movement. This fragmentation is not portrayed as inevitable, but is the product of competing communal fears, historical grievances, and political bargains that repeatedly failed. The narrative emphasizes how foreign actors, including regional powers and international interests, inserted themselves into Lebanon's internal struggles, often amplifying conflicts rather than resolving them. Readers see how the logic of militia rule changes daily life, where checkpoints, kidnappings, and shifting alliances become normal, and where personal survival requires constant recalculation. At the same time, the Lebanese case is used to explain a broader regional pattern. Weak states can become arenas for proxy conflict, and local actors learn to leverage outside support to gain advantage at home. By focusing on lived experience alongside political analysis, this topic helps readers grasp why restoring governance after civil breakdown is so difficult and why peace settlements can remain fragile when armed groups retain autonomous power. Secondly, Israeli politics, security doctrine, and the burdens of occupation. Another major topic examines Israel's security mindset and political debates in the context of repeated wars, terrorism, and the unresolved Palestinian question. The book connects strategy to geography and demography, showing how a small state surrounded by perceived threats can develop doctrines that prioritize deterrence, intelligence, and military readiness. It also explores the internal arguments among Israelis about identity, borders, democracy, and the moral and strategic costs of ruling over another people. The occupation is treated as more than a diplomatic issue. It becomes a daily system of administration and control that affects both Palestinians and Israelis and shapes how each side interprets the other's intentions. The narrative highlights how political coalitions, party competition, and leadership styles influence decisions on settlements, negotiations, and military operations. Readers are encouraged to see that policy is rarely a single rational calculation, but a product of history, trauma, ideology, and electoral pressures. By placing government decision-making alongside ordinary interactions and fears, this topic clarifies why security arguments can dominate public life and why attempts at peace can falter when narratives of vulnerability and injustice harden on both sides. Thirdly, Palestinian identity, displacement, and the search for political agency. A key theme is the evolution of Palestinian national identity and the struggle to convert lived experiences of displacement and military rule into effective political agency. The book discusses how refugeehood, statelessness, and fragmented leadership structures shaped Palestinian society, including the tension between local organizing and external political representation. It also addresses how cycles of violence and repression can radicalize communities while simultaneously weakening the institutions needed for stable governance. Rather than presenting Palestinians as a monolith, the narrative points to differing priorities among residents of the West Bank and Gaza, refugees in neighboring states, and political factions competing for legitimacy. The topic further explores how symbolism, memory, and collective narratives become tools of mobilization, influencing both grassroots resistance and diplomatic positioning. Readers gain insight into why negotiations often stumble over issues that are not merely technical, such as borders or security arrangements, but existential, such as recognition, dignity, and the right to define a national story. By weaving political context with human-level consequences, this theme helped explain the persistence of the conflict and the difficulty of building consensus amid external pressure, internal rivalry, and the daily realities of occupation and insecurity. Fourthly, regional power plays and the logic of proxy conflict. The book also highlights how Middle Eastern conflicts are frequently shaped by regional rivalries that turn local arenas into proxy battlegrounds. Lebanon and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict are depicted as interconnected with broader contests involving neighboring states and movements seeking strategic depth, ideological influence, or bargaining leverage. This topic clarifies why local ceasefires can collapse when outside patrons view continued instability as useful, and why armed groups may be sustained by cross-border funding, training, or sanctuary. The narrative conveys how leaders make choices in a landscape where signaling strength can matter as much as achieving concrete outcomes, and where domestic legitimacy is tied to standing up to enemies. Readers are introduced to the idea that regional politics often operate through indirect pressure, using militias, political factions, and media narratives rather than formal declarations of war. The topic also shows how sudden shifts, such as assassinations, invasions, or uprisings, can reorder alliances quickly, forcing actors to adapt in real time. By emphasizing the interplay between local grievances and regional ambitions, this section helps readers understand why durable peace requires more than bilateral agreements. It often demands reducing the incentives for outside intervention and building institutions resilient enough to withstand external manipulation. Lastly, journalism as a lens for understanding conflict and diplomacy. A distinctive topic is the role of journalism in interpreting conflict zones and translating complex realities for distant audiences. The book demonstrates how reporting is shaped by access, language, personal risk, and the need to verify information amid propaganda and fear. It illustrates how a correspondent navigates official briefings, informal networks, and street-level observation to piece together a coherent account, while recognizing that every source has incentives and blind spots. This topic also explores how media framing can influence public opinion and, indirectly, policy debates, especially when foreign governments respond to televised images or headline narratives. By presenting events through both analytical and experiential writing, the book underscores the tension between immediacy and accuracy, and between compelling storytelling and responsible nuance. Readers learn why simplified explanations can be seductive yet misleading, particularly in conflicts where history is contested and moral claims are deeply embedded. The discussion implicitly raises questions about objectivity, empathy, and the limits of outsider understanding without reducing the region to stereotypes. For readers, this lens is valuable not only for Middle East studies, but for media literacy more broadly. It encourages skepticism towards single-cause explanations and highlights the importance of context, incentives, and human complexity when evaluating reports from volatile political environments. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a grounded, narrative-driven entry into the modern Middle East, including students of international relations, history, journalism, and anyone trying to make sense of why conflict in Lebanon and Israel and Palestine remains so enduring. It is especially useful for readers who appreciate reporting that connects everyday life to strategic decisions, showing how fear, identity, and political incentives shape behavior on all sides. The benefit is practical as well as intellectual. It improves a reader's ability to evaluate news, recognize competing narratives, and understand why seemingly straightforward diplomatic proposals can unravel when they collide with memory, mistrust, and domestic politics. Compared with many similar books that focus narrowly on one country or one ideology, this work stands out for its comparative arc and its blend of scene, analysis, and historical context. It does not rely solely on abstract theory or distant retrospectives, but builds understanding through lived encounters and clearly explains stakes. For buyers, the value lies in its durability as a reference point, offering frameworks that remain relevant when new crises erupt. If you want a single volume that deepens comprehension beyond headlines and helps you read the region with greater nuance, it is worth owning. If you would like to support Thomas L. Friedman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.